remember one time I was sitting in my sister's kitchen, and we were talking, and my niece came in. It was morning, she had just gotten up, she went over to her mother and gave her a big hug and said to her, "Mom, I love you." My sister, being the suspicious soul that she is, said, "What do you want?" She looked innocently enough back at her mother and said, "I have pancakes too. Can we have pancakes?" It's a fascinating moment in so many ways. It just revealed to me and reminded me of how we can use the word love in so many ways. In the English language, it really kind of carries across, and sometimes difficult to convey just because we lose a sense of exactly what it is that we're trying to express sometimes. When we say that we love, I hear people say they love their family, and they love their spouse, and they love their job, and they love chocolate cake. And I'd be a little concerned if they loved all of those exactly the same. I'd be a little terrified. Mostly I'd be jealous of chocolate cake, but you know, just that consideration to use the same word to express a desire for so many things. It's even more fascinating because this isn't always a challenge in every language. In Greek, there's actually three words, all of which get translated into love when it is translated into English. But each of them conveys a different sense of love and actually has a very specific purpose. It's fascinating to me. John's Gospel was originally written in Greek, so the author had something very particular in mind when he wrote it in Greek. And you see, there's just three words for love in Greek. There's an eros, which is to express a desire for unity. To have an eros love is to seek union with the object of our desire. It can express both a kind of a carnal desire, I love chocolate cake, I want it inside me, so I eat chocolate cake. Eros love, I love chocolate cake. But that's kind of a more primitive expression of it. Eros love in its truest form is supposed to express this desire of union, almost particularly that you would see in the union between a husband and wife, that very particular union that is experienced in that kind of love. That's that eros as it's described. There's also philos, which is really better expressed. It's often expressed as brotherly love. That's where the word Philadelphia comes from, the city of brotherly love. It's this philos love. Not necessarily just siblings, but the same kind of a brotherly love you could have for countrymen, for people that you've shared something with, that you're ready to stand with no matter what. You know, that strong bond, more than just caring about someone, but philos, that brotherly love. The third form of love is actually called agape, or agape, depending on how you translate it. Really, agape love is this very particular form of love. See, in order to have the agape love, we have to be ready to not only know ourselves so well that we know who we are, but then we have to be willing to set aside everything that we want, everything that we desire, all of our wants, needs, and desires, and fully place the needs and desires of someone else to truly live agape love. The agape love is this total surrender of self and placing someone else's needs and wants and desires and their whole person in place of that. And be so focused on them, not in an obsession or an infatuation sort of way, but actually in a willingness to give completely of oneself for the good of the other, and to express that so very beautifully. It's really incredible to me. Our retired Pope Benedict, when he wrote the Encyclical Doctrine of God is Love, actually talks about all three forms of love. It says that within our relationship with God, we should have all three forms. He also points out that within every good marriage, there should be all three forms. So don't think that you have to kind of pick one. Really, it's this desire to have all three. What's fascinating is knowing that coming into this particular gospel, there's something very fascinating. Because what we have here is kind of coming full circle in so many ways. Jesus feeds his disciples breakfast to make sure that their immediate need is met. And he turns to Simon Peter, and it's more interesting in the Greek. He actually says, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than those around you?" And Simon Peter responds, "Lord, you know I philos you." It's this fascinating moment because Jesus actually asks him point blank, "Are you willing to give up everything for me?" And Peter responds with, no, I am not. I love you like a brother, comrades in arms. I love you, but not that much." Jesus still receives him. He says, "Feed my lambs." I'm excited he didn't just throw him out right there, so that's good. He says to him a second time, he says, "Simon Peter, do you agape me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know I philos you. Tend my sheep." It's the third time Jesus actually looks at him and says, "Simon, son of John, do you philos me?" And Peter's hurt. He's distraught. He's expressing this. Not only has he been asked three times now, but now he actually has stepped from the agape, the soul, self-giving love. He's stepped down to that sort of second form, maybe not as close, maybe not as completely self-giving, but still that expression of love. And he asks him, and Peter's, "Lord, come on, you know all things. I've said it twice already. You know that I feel also." He says, "Feed my sheep." I find this fascinating in so many ways. It expresses to us such an essential component for our own lives. Because God wants that love. God has that total gift of self-love for us. If we ever doubt that God has a total self-giving love for us, we have to only return to the crucifixion and consider what it is that God is willing to give for love of each and every one of us. And in that willingness to give of that total gift of love, God challenges us to grow in that love as well, to deepen our relationship with God and to strive so that we too might come to that total gift of self, that total trust in what God wants for us, that we can live in that remarkable relationship of love. We're going to do it imperfectly, at least at first. I know I've read some of the saints have achieved that form of love, and it is that great invitation that God constantly invites all of us to. But as we come into this Easter season, we consider this great moment where Jesus confronts Peter about it. I think there's two things for us to remember. The first of which, of course, is that God will constantly ask, "Do you love me?" And the invitation is for us to respond in love. And we'll do it imperfectly sometimes. We may not be fully ready to fully commit ourselves in love for God. But never underestimate that God takes us wherever we are. He'll take us where we stand now and challenge us to always draw deeper into that. Second thing to keep in mind is that while God will take us where we stand today, he still wants us to be in a deeper love tomorrow. And so it is that each of us will be asked, constantly by God, "Do you love me?" The challenge for us is, are we willing to go deeper into that?